Hello everyone, it's Walter Wong here with the Bold But Gold podcast. We are the podcast that shines a light on people from Singapore who are charting more adventurous paths for themselves. Now, if you've watched any theatre production by Pangdemonium over the last few years, chances are you would have seen today's guest on stage. Or if you caught the Dick Lee biopic, Wonder Boy, in cinemas, then you would also have seen today's guest on screen. From the stage, to the silver screen, and now direct through your speakers, it's a privilege to have Zach Ibrahim join us on our podcast. Zach has starred in multiple productions with Pangdemonium, including Peter and the Starcatcher and Fat Pig, for which he was nominated for a Life Theatre Award for Best Supporting Actor in 2015. Away from the stage, Zach starred alongside Ben King in the movie Wonder Boy in 2017 and has also appeared in the sketch comedy series We the Citizens, which is available to stream on Toggle. But what might be surprising to most people is that I was actually there with Zach right at the start. Zach's first foray into acting actually came in 2009 in a play that I produced and directed. Since then, Zach's career in showbiz has skyrocketed, but not before taking in a stint as a show presenter at the Night Safari. Listen out for how that went. Now, it has been wonderful to see Zach's journey from the start, and I couldn't be happier to see him enjoy all his recent success. Zach and I might go back a long way, but until we sat down to record the podcast, we hadn't had the chance to catch up and look back on his journey, so this was really enjoyable for me. Now, even after almost 10 years in the business, Zach's passion for theatre shines through as brightly as ever. So as they say, please sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Well, Zach, thanks so much for joining the podcast. Hey, welcome to the podcast. Yeah. All right, so we've worked together before.
Yeah, man.
Many years ago, yeah, 10 man. Years ago. And I think what's exciting for me is that we haven't really had a chance to catch up about all your successes since then.
We haven't, no. This is like the first time we're in the same room
Yes.
since all that.
Yes.
Holy wow.
Since 2010 or 11 something. So before we talk about your recent stuff, right, there's one thing I wanted to ask that I've never done, and that is, so all the way back then, you had never acted before, and then some random guy asks you to act, okay? Why did you even agree to act in the first place? Like, you didn't even know if you liked it or not.
So the guy who asked me, you know Ben Chow, right? Benjamin
Chow.
Oh,
it was Ben Chow,
So Ben couldn't do your piece, right?
Yes.
And then he messaged me, I was on a boat, I was fishing, it was on a fishing trip with a couple of my friends, and I don't know, like, I just felt adventurous, I guess.
Yeah.
I tried acting for the first time ever, maybe like 6 months prior to that. That's where I met Ben. A friend wrote a play, and then she casted Ben, and then Ben and I became friends, and then Ben drops me a message like, hey man, I have to pull out of this play, I feel terrible for doing that, I'm hoping that you could, are you free these next few weeks?
Okay.
So yeah, I was like, yeah, okay, cool. I'm in my holidays, I would have been just like bumming around anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, something fun.
So basically, as a favor to Ben. So you actually didn't know whether you would like it or not. Like, you would have liked it or not.
Oh, I had no idea whether I wanted to do it.
Okay.
It was definitely like a hobby. Okay, shit, why not do this? I've always been quite dramatic, I think. So let's see how this goes.
Yeah. But you did music before. Like, you played in a band before that.
Yeah.
Right? For fun.
Yeah, it was also for fun. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That was mentioned. Oh, we're gonna have rock stars and all the money, but that just doesn't happen here or anymore.
Yeah.
Really, in general, I think like all the big bands are from the 80s, latest 90s, maybe some left. But so there was never any serious like goal and plan. Like, okay, we're gonna do this and then we're gonna do that. There was no like structure to it.
Yeah,
it seems to be what you need to make a living.
To make a living in theater.
Yeah.
Like, did any of your music things come in handy? I guess maybe it's the voice or something, the voice projection maybe comes in handy.
Dude, I'm so untrained, you know. I mostly yelled into the mic lah. So
okay,
so now I guess I yell into a stage or yell at an audience. It's a lot of yelling lah, my work.
A lot of angry yelling.
Yeah, I like to think less now, but still a lot here and there.
If you think about your first few productions, so
I guess the one that we did together and the first few that you did all those years back, right? When you look back at the actor you were back then and now, what's the difference?
Well,
and I guess in good and bad ways.
I don't know. Okay, so let's see. If someone called me and said, "Hey, next week, would you want to do a play?" I don't think I'd jump right in. I still have my angry moments and but it's a lot less. I just feel a lot less explosive. Like, I'm getting old, dude. It's like
you're younger than me, right? No, actually, I think we're the same age.
What year you born?
I'm 1990.
Yeah, same. Okay. You're on this time, right? Your birthday?
June.
No, hell no, long time ago. Okay. So yeah, 1990. I don't know. Don't you feel that way? It's like, react as okay. Here's an example. Last night, for the first time in my life, look. If Man United is losing a game, yep. I stayed till the end. And last night at the 80th minute, I was like, nah, I'm gonna go and sleep. And that was like the first time I've done that before. I just don't. The actor then would get worked up very easily over many things, and I like to think I'm a bit better with that now.
But do you think, like, because you've been in the theatre industry for how many, like, what, this is 9 years? 8, maybe?
Wow, has it been that long? Wow, I suppose.
Quite curious about this. From when we worked together to, I guess, your first few productions with Pangdemonium, which is when I started seeing your name again appear, right? What happened in those years? So it was like 4 years. I know you were Night Safari or something.
Yeah, I did that for a while. That was so fun, man. That was so much fun. So when you met me, I was studying visual effects in poly. Yeah. So yeah, mostly behind the camera stuff. I still am very interested in that. But so I went to NS after. Mm-hmm. And after NS, I didn't feel like pursuing what I studied or working in that field anyway. Decided to do something. But I figured stuff out. I did by then work on another play, London Suite, which y'all went around for. You
California
were,
Suite, by then, isn't it?
California Suite, that's
well,
right.
I was involved in that as well.
You were involved from overseas, less hands on, I suppose. Yeah. So that happened while I was in NS, and then there was that's when I guess there was an idea like maybe I could do a thing with this, but. Again, like telling yourself, like, right, here I am, Singaporean NSF, I'm going to be an actor. This was just a bit much, lah. So, I thought I'd do something that would involve me continuing presenting. Growing up, I love animals. Mm-hmm. I still love them. Mm-hmm. I felt the need to do something with my hands, you know. And working at Night Safari was just, you're on your feet all day.
So running the show? Or?
Yeah, so not right. Well.
As running in, it is a you were the guy like with the animals?
Yeah. So I was my official title was animal trainer and presenter. So the daytime, my work day would have started at 2 PM.
Okay.
Daytime is husbandry, just a fancy way of saying cleaning animals, crap, right? Yep. So cutting food for them, cleaning up after them, and then around 5 PM we all get showered and dressed to do the show. We did three shows a day, four on weekends. Yeah.
And you were in all, like, you had to be in all
if
of that.
If you were working, if you were working. And, most, there was a bit of a shortage of presenters. So, like, I tell you, man, I got so much, like, experience there more than anywhere else. I got, like, the experience of, all right, here's a crowd. Mm. And, like, here's a bunch of, like, whining kids. That kid's crying. And then over here is a really, really upset bunch of that couple where they just fought. That father and mother look like they don't want to be here right now, but at least the kids have a good time. And then there's this whole block here of Japanese people who don't know what I'm saying. So it's just I had to learn how to get a message across to all these people, and you'd be like the same script 3 times, 4 times a night. That stuff.
Yeah,
the words got old.
And then you have to sound like super excited.
Right, exactly.
Here is the bird. Well, not a bird, I guess.
Yeah. We had birds. So there you go. So that was after NS. So I did that for about a year, and then I auditioned for Pangdemonium somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, Keegan Kang, he's an actor as well. Yep. So I met him. That's right. So I did a short film then. I took a day or two off work to just do this short film. It was called I and Jonathan. It was never made. It was they just shot.
Oh,
really?
But did they pay you? My boss.
Yeah, they paid. Okay. They paid. Oh man, I'm not cool, man. You gotta pay. Come on. We're all working. So So yeah, they paid. But the film itself never got fully produced. They just did an extended trailer, like a 3-minute trailer thing, hoping people pick up, but I guess it didn't pull through. Good thing I met Keegan there. Keegan let me know about the Pangdemonium auditions, helped get me a slot, and then I auditioned for Pang and got my first proper professional.
Was it Fat Pig? That was the first one?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. And you were nominated for the Life Theatre Award in that one, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Did you win in the end?
I didn't.
How were you feeling with the nomination, I guess, and then with the eventual non-victory?
Oh, I took the butter off my toast for you. I was so devastated. Well, look, it was like...
Smash your guitar.
Yeah, just like, oh, I hate you straight times. Why would you? Well, nah, it's like... What a watch. It would have been nice.
Yeah.
It would have been nice. But I'm telling you, man, just getting it, reading my name in the papers, and like, so an email came first from Tracy, and Tracy's like, Zach, you can't tell anyone yet, but you're not with them. Like, huh? Yeah. What? You know? So it was really exciting, and then there was an event here, actually, where the Esplanade High viewers, listeners, where the Esplanade, the event was here, the awards ceremony, and then it went to
the Esplanade?
Yeah.
Like, oh, as in like in the concert hall or something. Yeah. Oh wow.
Well, the other Erwin Shah was nominated for his performance as well in my category, and Ramesh did Shylock in Merchant, like Ramesh. So once I saw Ramesh's name there, I said, okay, there's no chance.
Okay.
So yeah. It was a nice novel thing, but like I remember that finishing, and then I not having work for the next month after that. I'm like, well, this doesn't quite pay the bills.
I was gonna ask, did it up your stature in a way?
This is not something for me to consider, lah. You know, I don't know about that stuff, but I did do another piece of theatre work. It was maybe like 3 months later.
Mm-hmm.
3 or 4 months after that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess some people saw that, but in the end I think the person who wanted to cast me actually watched Fat Pig.
Okay.
So I think more than anything was them there that actually night, and I happened to have a decent night that night, and that more than anything I like to think got me that next job.
If you think about, so you auditioned, you got the role, right? Mm. And then that's when you more or less became like a full time actor.
Yeah, I quit my job after that.
Yeah. So you quit at Night Safari. Yeah. So when you're going through the thought process, I guess, like, it might have been quite scary, right? To like quit and go on your own.
It was a little scary. I mean,
and was it a risk or?
It was definitely a risk. I mean, I knew the risk would be the pay more than money or more than anything, right? And I had accepted that. And already as an NSF, you were living with quite. It's not like I was going from like a bunch of. Yeah. Of like, the riches to like, okay, now I'm... Yeah. I was already on like NSF pay, and bless the Night Safari, you know, the money goes to the animals, I like to say. So I wasn't going from like, whoa, now I have no money. So that wasn't so much of a worry, I suppose. Mm-hmm. That wasn't so much of a worry.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But then family and friends, I guess like family, because you don't grow up, like, you didn't grow up in a family where everyone's involved in drama, right? I think you're the only one, right?
So
what were their reactions, parents?
Yeah, I think my parents, my family was all very supportive, you know, they always have been, you know, and like, I don't know how they do it, like, they've seen me go through some stupid things, and like, and they've always expressed their pride at me when the Straits Times thing happened, they were all so proud, you know, and, or even just them watching me, when they come and watch me do a show, and then they see me on stage, and that curtain, I see them, and there's like a look in their faces, you know, like, you know. So I like to think, like, that's one of the moments I made them extra proud. But yeah. they've always been very, very supportive of me. Without them, I cannot do this.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised actually, because like, I don't know. At least if I think about maybe my parents, I think if I said, oh, I want to go into theatre full time, whether it's acting or directing or producing, whatever, I think they would be like, wow, like,
yeah, really carefully. Are you sure? I mean, there were are you sure's, and like, this is not easy path you're choosing, man, you know, like, you, and I was always, especially because I made this decision when I was a bit little younger, and now I was like, oh yeah, hell yeah, of course I can, but yeah, they've been proven right in some ways. It is very difficult. I like to think it, I don't like to think it's too difficult, but it's not the easiest path that I've chosen.
So I guess what is the main challenge? Like, is it just you constantly every few months you have to find something new?
Yeah.
Unpredictability.
The challenge is managing your time. Challenge managing your time. I as I've gotten older, I used to really, really like not having anything to do. Like, alright, I'm gonna go really like all out for these next 2 months, and then for a week and a half at least after that, I'm just like. But now, like 2 or 3 days after, like two days after this recent play ended, it's like, oh man, I wish I was doing something today. Mm-hmm. I need to be out there doing something. So maybe I'm getting a bit older, I don't know, but it's biggest thing is time management.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But then I guess what's the most satisfying part of it? The applause, the process.
Applause is nice.
Yeah.
Process is fantastic. The process is fantastic. When you this recent Peter and the Starcatcher, right? So much of it was devised. Like, a lot of times, okay, we have a ladder. And what are we gonna do with this? You know, and then this ladder at this point is helping Molly fly, and then later on we have the bunting. We have like a bunting because it's a ship at one point.
Oh, okay.
And then it's like a string with little triangles hanging, decorating, right?
Yeah.
Decorative piece. And then later in the second act, there's a crocodile. So you wrap.
But not a real one, right?
Unfortunately, not. I tried to ask the knights if I.
Yeah, like.
Well, so the bunting was wrapped around the ladder, and then that turned into a gnashing crocodile as well. You know, little things like that. Those are just seeing those things and making them happen. It's like a bunch of grown ass men in the room, and one poor grown ass lady, well, young lady actually. She was playing a 14-year-old. Yeah, Karina was fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we got all of these like incredible minds all in a room, making things happen. And if you had seen the first rehearsal, you wouldn't believe what it looked like opening night.
Yeah, no. So for me, I think that is the joy. I mean, I've not worked on the same level of production that you have, but like that to me is the joy when you see like a group of random people coming together, and then, well, I don't know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks later, whatever, you see this like, wow, like something cool
coming together. Yeah. Yeah. Well, are you going to go back to it at some point?
I don't know. As a hobby, maybe, but like...
Right.
So when I look at you, it's like there is a different level of talent in terms
of
being on stage as well. I mean, okay, this is what I wanted to ask. Like, how much of what you do right now do you think is talent versus like you've learned it, you've trained up over time, you know, educated yourself on being on stage and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, talent. Talent is such a bad word. I have... spent a lot of my years being basically shameless, and I don't think you can call that talent.
Yeah.
To stand in front of a bunch of people and be an idiot takes a certain amount of thick skin, you know. To call that talent would be ridiculous, I think.
But
it's taken that. It's been training over the years. I have gone for some classes here and there. I haven't gone to school as a lot of my peers have. But
so that's
helped.
And that's something I want to ask as well, because like in the theatre world in Singapore, a lot of people have gone to the same acting schools or school drama programs at the very least, right? But you are like an outsider in a way. I mean, at this
I like to think when we're all in the room, we're all there, we're all just trying to make something happen. It's dangerous to think that way.
Yeah.
A younger version of me might have wanted to get in with the groups a bit more, but as I've gotten a little older, I've come to realize that if you just get down there and do your work, people are still gonna call you back to do work. So, I'm
but is
that
an advantage
keen on
actually?
Being called an outsider. An advantage, I don't know. If you were asking me to hire someone, would I want someone with the propensity to just break rules all of a sudden? I don't know if I want to hire someone like that.
Yeah.
As opposed to someone who's gonna give you what you want.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd rather not be called an outsider.
Yeah. Mm. Well, okay. So I guess away from stage acting, you've been in a movie. You were in Wonderboy last year, the Dick Lee biopic. How did that come about?
I auditioned for it.
Oh, so there was a casting call.
There was a casting call. Okay. We need a Eurasian fella. I already get casted for, if it's a locally written piece, I'm either Malay or Eurasian. So
okay,
it's just nice. I mean, most people only have that one.
The one
I used
role.
To complain about it. It's they never write, but then it's Malay and Eurasian part, so it comes around sometime. Work is work, lah. Yeah, so auditioned for that. It was fun, eh? You know, they flew us over to Penang, put us in a hotel. It felt like, ah, this is nice. There's a driver. Oh, cool. Woohoo. It wasn't all roses, obviously, right? But what's the worst I could complain about? One night I had to stay up till 3 working. But then I woke up, you know, there's a swimming pool. There's breakfast. And I was doing another thing back home at the time, so they were flying me back also to...
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so...
And how long was the filming?
They managed to do everything in a month. They shot all of it in a month. Okay, yeah. I had no idea it could be done that quickly when I heard a month.
So yeah.
Managed to pull it off. Hmm.
In terms of process, prefer the movie one? You prefer stage one?
I've heard this from somewhere. These are not my words, but it's something along the lines of film is a director's medium and theater is the actor's medium. I mean, as the actor in the theater, you are there from day one devising, and your director will come in with ideas. They will have some ideas, but most directors I worked with in theater like to see the actors play and make something happen. Whereas film, there's so many like specific things, and maybe you got locations for set amounts of time. So you're always rushing against time. It feels like when you're on camera. Yeah. So, as an actor, you have to do a lot of the homework yourself beforehand already. Which, who likes homework, right? With a child's mind, who likes homework? I still enjoy playing in theatre more, but I want to get better at film, and I think the challenge is the challenge is there. It's there for me to rise.
What's the main difficulty though? Is it like because it's not linear?
That's tricky sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta... Yeah, when we were filming... Okay, like when we were filming Wonder Boy, for example, we had a... There's a scene in the movie where I get physically aggressive with Ben, playing Dick.
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, we had dinner break.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, we had a scene where it's like our closest friendship moment. Like, I'm telling you my secrets, don't tell anyone, bro. Kind of.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing is tricky. That kind of thing is definitely tricky.
So you basically can't be a method actor. Otherwise, over dinner, you're going to be punching Ben.
Yeah. Credit to Ben, man. He told me, like, hey, man, just like swing a fist at me. But
you didn't actually make contact,
No. Well, I mean, discussed it, like, I mean, it's like, dude, we've got a lot of takes, you know, just like 3 camera angles. I'm not a boxer or anything, you know, but if I have to punch you like 15 times, we got another scene later, you know, I appreciate that. So in the end, I ended up choreographing the scene a bit. So it was all open hand. Open hand. That way I could go like be a harder impact, harder swing a bit than having a closed fist. So it was choreographed.
I was gonna say, like, you wouldn't want to punch a co-actor. Mm-hmm. That would be not ideal.
Boom boom boom, we were just punching each other for 3 hours. That was the best shot.
Well, anyway, to me, I think your last 6-7 years have been really impressive.
Thanks, man.
At least from the outside, when I look in, whenever I see your name appear in the news every like 12 months, I'm like, oh wow, like you've ascended the mountain.
Ascended the mountain, dude. What mountain, dude? I am just pushing that boulder up and falling down again, right? dude, I don't know what the mountain is.
But what's your future plan or no plan? But are you trying to do more, just like continue acting, do more voiceover stuff, or just whatever comes along, you can take?
I love voiceovers, but honestly, I really love voiceover. I've really gotten into them.
You can be dressed in your flip flops.
What are you talking about? I'm dressed really well right now.
The visual medium of a podcast.
You told me there won't be a camera for
yeah,
this.
Yeah, there
wouldn't
be.
Sweet. Thanks for that. I like wearing my slippers. This is part of your plan, so I'll be more casual and comfortable. This guy. Clever guy.
So voiceover.
Yeah, voiceover. Anyway. Voiceovers. Directing is something I want to get into. Mm-hmm. I studied it.
Oh,
not exclusively directing, but I had a few modules in it.
Where?
Nyam Poly. I studied visual effects. So
but I didn't know.
So that. Mainly I did the visual effects. But I enjoyed more than anything in school the directing classes. And the actual location productions. Yeah, we had a modern location production, filmmaking, storyboarding, scriptwriting, all that stuff. I feel like I've left it, and I always had a thought of, yeah, I got to make something on camera, you know, and I think the time is coming.
Nice. So, camera directing, is it film directing?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
I actually studied it, and I think to direct something, to have some kind of background in the technical stuff will be important.
Yeah, will you act in your own short or whatever you're
maybe
planning?
If I can't cast someone, if I don't want to pay someone, then yeah.
So do you actually have an artistic message or direction that you're trying to get toward, I guess?
No, I can't say there's a message. I haven't even got the piece yet. Ideas, scribblings, but nothing concrete yet.
And I guess the last question I have is any other productions coming up that you're acting on stage on? Pandemonium, anything new?
Oh, no stage stuff. Not soon. Nothing in the pipeline there. Let's see. Right now, yeah, if you watch the Toggle stuff, there's We the Citizens. I mean, a couple of episodes of that. It's a sketch comedy. I love comedy.
Oh.
I feel like I really, really love comedy. And this is like an homage to Little Britain.
Oh.
So if you're into that Little Britain stuff, you might be into this.
It's local flavor. Into Britain,
yeah, so, yeah, check yeah. it out, man. So there's that sketch comedy style, different characters. Enlai Kumar, Kishan, Michelle Wong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They play a variety of different characters. I just have a bunch of scenes here and there over these 12 episodes. Yeah.
Hopefully you're not a token Eurasian.
No, I was. Yeah. Well, there you go. I'm the token mutt.
There
you go.
Okay.
For a couple of scenes. But I like to think there's more than token. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, but you're still on camera, and that's the important part.
Yeah. It's a job of maintaining that visibility sometimes.
Well, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a joy for me to speak to actors. They see the world in such a different way from how I do, and I always learn something from them. Now with Zach, you can tell that he really does serve his craft. You could just sense his excitement when we talked about the process of staging Peter and the Starcatcher. And I stand by my claim that Zach has an X factor when he is on stage. I hope you could somehow sense it in this episode, but if you couldn't, then you absolutely should check out his onstage work whenever his next production rolls around. You will not be disappointed. Thanks again, Zach, for speaking on the podcast and for inspiring us with your story. Now, if you like what we're doing on this podcast, then please subscribe and tell everyone that we're here. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and your favorite podcast apps. And we'd also love to hear from you, so get in touch on Twitter and Facebook using the handle @boldbutgoldsg or visit boldbutgoldsg.com. We'll be back again real soon with another episode about Singaporeans who are making bold choices in their lives. I'll see you again real soon.